It is now time for another edition of the Link Together podcast, a place where we unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our daily lives. I'm your host, Bob Hegdahl, pastor for mission and outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as development pastor at our campus in Lapeer. During each episode, we get to look through the lenses of different individuals who, in their own unique way, share how they live their faith out in their daily lives through our interview segment, Talk to the Hand. Each episode also features a spiritual snack, where one word is unpacked for its faith and daily life implications. Special thanks goes out to the big presence in a small package, Kelly Rinaldi, for her tireless assistance with public relations, and to Keith Gore, the audio whisperer. You are both appreciated. We also appreciate each of you, our listeners. We are glad that you have joined us for episode number 11. If you will, please like and subscribe to the podcast, as well as share it with others who might find it interesting. Please make use of your social media and tag people you think might be interested in listening to our show. It is the best way to spread the word about the Link Together podcast. Please tag me, Nomad Pastor, on Instagram and the Link Together podcast on Facebook. A new Link Together podcast generally arrives 2 times each month. The Link Together, Connecting Faith and Daily Life podcast is a ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church with campuses in Clarkston, White Lake, Pontiac, Lapeer, Pinckney, and beyond. Calvary Lutheran Church is here because you matter. At Calvary, people are invited to come as they really are and to become all that God has made them to be. We believe that we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to others, and our mission is ultimately to know Christ and to make Christ known. To find out more about Calvary Lutheran Church and all the exciting ministries, check out our webpage, calvaryinfo.org, or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship experiences, either in person or online. It is now time for the spiritual snack. The spiritual snack word for this episode is pivot. Pivot, the central point, pin or shaft on which something is turned or oscillates. In the last 18 months or so, they've been hard times for many people, and during that time we've seen aspects of our lives pivot in different directions as we have embraced one challenge after another during this time of pandemic. We have done a lot of turning and oscillating. I'm sure by this time that many people are worn out having to pivot so much. It can seem tiring and draining. I would like to offer you, the listeners of the Link Together podcast, that pivoting, depending on the lens through which you embrace it, can actually be good for you. Pivoting in life, an opportunity to grow and improve. I know the last 18 months have been tough, but pivots in our lives don't necessarily mean failure or hardship or tough times. Rather, pivots in our lives can also mean opportunity as we stand for visions that we have, that we know we need to engage in, things that we are being nudged to do, but just haven't pivoted there yet. These pivots include crazy ideas and new beginnings, if we are willing to pivot. Think of a time in your life when you've experienced a pivot. Perhaps it was from one job to another. Maybe it was pivoting away from a time of unhealthy eating to healthy eating, or from an absence of exercise to a regular exercise routine. It could be pivoting out of an unhealthy addiction or a relationship. If you think about it, there are lots of times where you pivot and the end result is better than you could have imagined. But what about a faith pivot? Do faith pivots exist? Yes. Every time we open ourselves up to God speaking to us through the absorption of Scripture, worship, and prayer, it's a potential pivot point in a new direction. In our lives of faith, if we really think about it, most of us have pivoted many times as our faith grew, as we have deepened and strengthened our faith over time. Faith is not afraid to pivot, but rather is afraid not to. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not afraid to pivot, but rather is afraid not to. Luther talked about faith pivots a bit. Luther always wanted our faith to be an evolving one. We are not called to have a stagnant faith, but rather one that is in motion, not a still faith, but one that pivots us closer to God. When we open ourselves up to pivoting in our faith lives, we are giving ourselves a gift, the opportunity to deepen and strengthen our faith as we discern how God is calling us to be present at any given day or time. Many of our faiths have been challenged over the last 18 months. Lots of pivots. Think about this one. If I suggested 18 months ago that live streaming our services as a vehicle of connection was a good idea, some of you may have been aghast. Yet here we are 18 months later, and I constantly hear people talk about the value they place, not only on live stream worship, but the value of being part of a church that never has closed during the pandemic. There have been times when the building was inaccessible, but worship, mission, and outreach has never stopped. We remain the church, active in worship, mission, and outreach, pivoting to address whatever situation is put before us. The newest pivot is being realized as people begin to regain their comfort level in returning to in-person activities. Everyone does have their own timeline and will pivot back as they feel comfortable. And that's okay. The live stream will. The ability to experience worship on days and times other than Sunday morning has taken on a whole new meaning. The leadership team at Calvary is constantly brainstorming additional ways to engage people in light of whatever barriers are faced or pivots are needed. This willingness to pivot and adapt is vital. Why? Because you matter. Maintaining relationship with one another is of the utmost importance. And remember, we always do things better together. Ultimately, I'm grateful for the one who may have pivoted the most, a God that, among all the pivots we have made in our relationship and faith, loves us so much that all of our pivots are recognized and accepted, good or bad. God pivots with us, whichever way we go. Whether we are pivoting away or towards God, the love is still there, and the desire to pivot back toward God is ever present. Pivot, a central point, pin, or shaft on which something is turned or oscillates. As someone who experiences his fair share of pivots in both directions, I am forever thankful for a God that pivots with me, never abandoning me, but remaining present and vigilant, always calling on me to pivot back home to God. Upcoming mission and outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. On Friday, October 29th, Clarkston Independence Library is looking for people to host Trunk or Treat at their event from 6:30 to 8 p.m. They are in need of people willing to distribute candy from their trunks to local children. Community Impact Weekend is November 6th and 7th. There are many opportunities to serve both Saturday and Sunday. A link to the volunteer signups is on the Calvary website, calvaryinfo.org. Calvary is blessed to partner with Clarkston Rotary for the Shoots for Kids event on Saturday, November 20th. Each year, approximately 400 children are fitted with new shoes. There are volunteer opportunities both Friday, November 19th, to help with setup, as well as distribution of shoes through Shift. Those are available on the 20th. We continue to make sandwiches for our partner, the Baldwin Center, each Thursday at 10 a.m. We could use a few more people to help assemble the over 300 sandwiches we make each week. We are also in need of sponsors of this program. It costs roughly $150 per week to provide over 300 sandwiches for people in need. You can direct your donation to Calvary and make sure that it's earmarked for hunger initiatives. It is now time for the Talk to the Hand segment of our show, where we ask someone faith and daily life questions. Everyone gets the same five questions, and it really helps us as we look at how different people look through different lenses as to how they live out their life of faith through their daily life. Today we have with us Steve. We're so grateful that he's with us today, and he, like another person who has done Talk to the Hand, is here doing this recording on his birthday. So, Steve, happy birthday. We're glad you're here, and thanks for being a guest.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
So we like to start off every show by asking you to share with our listeners just a little piece, a little slice of the story as to how you became a person of faith.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm going to be full disclosure. This is going to be extremely uncomfortable for me. It's not something I like to talk about. So, and, you know, also, I'm also in the coaching side of in my business, and we talk about how we lean into things that make us feel uncomfortable, because that's where growth is, and that's where, you know, on the other side, that's where success is. So, you know, looking at this, I'm going to be very transparent. This is uncomfortable. So how did I become a person of faith? I'll say it started when I was extremely young. It was my parents taking me to church. I was Roman Catholic. We were the family that sat in the second pew. Ooh. And it wasn't just the second pew. It was the second and third pews, because we went to church as an entire family. Mm-hmm. So family was very instrumental in, you know, bringing God into my life. But I will have to be very transparent. Once, you know, when we grow up, we kind of leave and do our own thing. And I will say that it wasn't until truly coming to Calvary that really started to have faith truly impact me in the way that I actually felt that there was something there. So it was there's a complete story with that, but in a nutshell, always, you know, God's always been a part, but not truly until came to Calvary.
Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's in some ways, it's not atypical that people who were brought up in the church and were sort of every week taking up a pew kind of folks,
right.
You know, everybody has those sort of nomadic times when they roam around and they discover new things, and then there's just like there's a catalyst that compels them to, you know, to roam around and sort of live that nomadic life. There's often something else, that another experience that brings them back in, and it sounds like you know, getting connected to Calvary, you know, was part of that reconnection for you, or and maybe even a deepening and strengthening of your faith as a result of being part of Calvary. So that's
fantastic. You know, further on that, it's what's really interesting about the whole thing is, when growing up, yeah, I was an altar boy. I would mimic the priests. Imagine somebody second row copying everything that you do as a priest, as a pastor. Literally, when you do the blessings, you have somebody standing there looking straight at you, doing exactly the same movements, saying the exact same things, and everybody can hear both you and them. So think of that as somebody in the second row doing that, and you're like, really? Like, what's going on? And I believe it was like seventh, eighth grade. I was like, oh, I want to be a priest. I want to be a pastor. And everybody's like, no, no. Yeah. And so then they're like, why don't you go be an altar boy? Like, okay. And while growing up through high school, I actually then started to read, as you know, and it was really uncommon for youth to read in that specific Catholic church. And then shortly thereafter, while reading, I was also doing the Eucharist and serving wine as well. So throughout all that, that was part of the journey. And then, you know, it got more interesting from there, but it really actually started when my wife and I, we were dating, and she was asked to become Catholic. And what really started to separate and maybe question things is, she didn't feel comfortable being in that, but she would attend. And over the years, it just got to the point where we both felt we didn't belong in that church. And we started, quote unquote, church dating. Mm-hmm. And we came to Calvary, and it was just, there was something here that just felt like this, like there was something, there was some connection, like there was connections made, and there's the people, but there's also the message and how it's connected to us in our individual lives mm-hmm. that really made us connect.
Mm. Yeah, that's powerful. That you know, I always like to say that you know, when you do that church dating, you know, when you get to the point where you're dating and then you're thinking about proposing and then you're thinking about, you know, marrying.
Right.
There's that moment where you know, when you're looking at your life or at your faith life, and you're looking through the lens, and when you church shop, each church has a different lens, and then when
yes.
you find the one where things become clear, where you can perhaps see the best, you know, that's where you plant your roots, because it just feels right and things are clearer.
Yeah.
We have similar stories. I was an altar boy as well, and I became the head altar boy because basically nobody ever showed up. So
yeah,
I did like you. I memorized the whole service, and when I was in confirmation one night, the pastor just got very upset because either we were goofing around or no one knew the assignment, and he just said, "Does anyone know anything about the Lutheran Church?" And I said, "Well, I know the whole service." And he goes, "Oh, really? Say it." And I just did. And it was like you know, you catch that Hail Mary in the fourth quarter with 3 seconds left on the clock, and the class was saved for the day. And I had, you know, I became somewhat of a legend.
You're
because
right.
I saved the class. But those little things that you remember
right.
about your faith life and the journey that you've been on, I knew all the words, but I didn't really necessarily connect the meaning behind them.
Yeah,
like I had that rote memory of it, but. You know, now that I understand more deeply, it's just all the more enriching. But that was a time I was able to save the class with my ability to recite things that I'd heard before.
Yep.
So as you think about your walk of faith and where you are today, who are some of the people that impacted that faith walk, you know, who modeled living their faith through how they led their daily lives? And what part of those things that you witnessed from those people became part of how you live out your faith?
Yeah, that's, well, first it's going to be my parents. You know, you're a child, you feel like you're quote unquote forced to do everything. And it's like, I don't want to do this. But it's who I would, you know, they helped ingrain that. It was like every Sunday, it was like you're sitting in the second row and you don't have a choice. There's no choice. But what it really set up for was, even when I went away to college, I left the house immediately when it would, graduated in June. I was in college in July. Mm. I was gone. What that really set up, though, is even when I was away at college, I still, every now and then, I would go to church. And I actually got involved with the church at the college. I would actually read at the church because there was something there. And so that was my way of feeling connected, and that was with my parents. But also, there was also my grandfather. He was in the Catholic Church. He was a fourth degree knight in the church. And so one of the things, like after service, was that you'd go downstairs in the church and there's always coffee and donuts provided by the Knights of Columbus. So we did that. And that was very important for him, for me to become a knight. And it didn't really understand why, but there was so much fellowship that happened, and it brought people closer. Whether that was having a conversation, you know, about life, or maybe God was part of that, actually part of that conversation where they actually literally talked about faith. But that was important to him. And realizing it now, he was really helping put that in as, hey, you're a young man that still needs guidance, without telling me mm-hmm. you still need guidance. Mm-hmm. And this is where you can get it from. So that was really cool. And honestly, it's going to be my wife, because she's the one that really helped lead me here. And just without pushing, she would sometimes pull, but she never pushed. And she was always someone that she deep belief in God, deep belief in faith. It was always there for her. But she was also very clear, if she didn't feel comfortable, I don't want to go. And I'm a very staunch supporter. If you're not comfortable, we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's her kind of like unnerving, unforgiving, like, we're going to go, and without being pushy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want you to feel comfortable, because as I said, we did church date. We've went to other different denominations. It just didn't feel right. And till we came here. And she's in some of the churches that we went to, and some of the Catholic or and typically they were Catholic or Lutheran, is, you know, we either she didn't feel right or I didn't feel right. And there were some where we both just didn't feel right. And it's just, that's really, you know, from those discussions that we've had throughout the time, it's just kind of led us to have that stronger belief that there is something to help bind our marriage, and that's God and Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in both of those scenarios, it's almost like we want to share with you something that, that we hold as a value, that's valuable to us, that that we hope through either the witness of your, you know, your grandfather taking you there, or the way that your wife, you know, encouraged you to do it. You know, there's ways to ask questions, and there's ways to ask questions.
Right.
There's ways to encourage people, and there's ways to encourage people.
Right.
Sometimes it's the right approach and the right language and the right time, you know, with the right settings that really make, you know, that impact, you know, all the more powerful. And now you have these values. You look back, you say, wow, that was a value to my grandfather, mm-hmm. that we went and did this. And now I can see it. At the time, maybe not. Maybe it takes a while, but then as you look back, you go, wow, I could see where that that had value. And certainly today, you know, in these pandemic times, I think people are, you know, yearning for that value of community and hanging out and being present,
yeah.
with each other and having those conversations. And whether they drift in one way or the other, it's just being physically present with people and enjoying people. And I think your wife was certainly onto something. It's, you know, I've said this in the 21 years I've been doing this, you know, you can't, shaming people into coming to church is not effective.
No,
you know, and it's
right.
It's and if it is effective, it's people who, you know, plant a mile wide and an inch deep. They're just not going to invest, because it's when you feel like you've been shamed into doing something, it's just not going to have the same effect as if the door's been opened for you and you can enter in and at the time and place where you feel comfortable planting roots, then that's what happens.
Right.
And that's just such a difference. And you know, you're a coach and you coach people every day, and that's kind of what you do. You put things before them, and you
right.
give them opportunity to see how it fits into their life, and then you go from there. So, so as you think about those people who have helped in your faith walk, so in what specific ways do you see your faith affecting the way that you live your daily life? It could be at work, it could be when you're coaching clients, it could be when you're doing the podcast, in your home life or with your friends. In what specific ways do you see your faith affecting the way that you live your daily life?
That's a very interesting question. Actually, I got chicken skin, as I've recently heard. It's a new term that I've recently heard, actually, in the last sermon from Pastor Jonathan. But really, when we're talking that, it's the whole notion about truly believing. And it's getting people to the point where not only do they believe in the cause or believe in that, but it's also believe in themselves. And, you know, some of the stories in the Bible, it's really about believing in yourself and carrying that through. It's not just the, well, I believe I can do it. No, there's somebody here to support me, whether we're going through tough times and, you know, giving that feeling like I can't do this all by myself. And the reality is you're not by yourself. You may feel like you're walking alone, but chances are somebody's actually carrying you through that. And for me, that it's especially when I'm like taught in the, on the business side versus, you know, the faith side, I try, like I was just working with a client and talking about that, is that their faith in God and willingness to want to help everybody all the time and really looking at that and the impact that it has on the business. If it doesn't make a good business decision, we talk through that, because it's a lot of my clients now actually have a very firm belief in God and are very active in their respective church communities. And which is very interesting, because when I first started out, it wasn't something I quote unquote paid attention to, but now I actually do. And I find that the interactions I have with the clients, interactions that I have with people in general, are more genuine, but they're also, I would say the relationships that I have with those people are more, there's a deeper connection. And there's just, so I would say, circling back to it, is it's the philosophy of belief, in true unresolved belief, not just in God, but it's also in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now another question, another tough question. So in what areas of your life do you wish would reflect more of your faith or the person that you are to those that you encounter? So in what spaces do you wish you could reflect more of who you are as a person of faith than you do currently?
So, yeah, this is uncomfortable. So,
you're welcome. By
yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for this one. So it is not comfortable for me to outwardly talk about faith. Ironically enough, so the few years ago, we were trying to get the men in Calvary to, you know, come together. And it was honestly, for me, it was extremely awkward to have conversations about things going on in the Bible. What did they make me feel like? We do small growth groups here at Calvary, and it honestly, it makes me uncomfortable to go to them because it's just not something I am outwardly comfortable talking about. I feel it's important, but just stand up and talking openly about how it feels, it's something that I wish I with practice in doing it more frequently, it becomes more comfortable just to be surrounded by people that have, whether it's differing opinions or same opinions or a blend of both, it's just openly having that conversation in a safe environment at first. But, you know, so there's that first part. And then it's just being more, I would say, for me, like going out into public and talking about it, that's almost a no-fly zone. It's just really uncomfortable. But if I was more comfortable just talking in general, whether it's in the safe walls of the church or just having a one-on-one conversation with people, that for me, that is an area of growth that I know I need.
It does always come back to you, and you're not the first person to suggest this. It does come back to practice, you know, doing things over and over again and honing them. And, you know, you're a fellow podcaster, the first podcast. I'm sure you stumbled in ways you don't stumble now. And now you stumble in ways that you won't stumble 6 months from now. But it's just it's so important. I think, you know, the sharing piece and the being comfortable with the verbiage that you use around, you know, sharing your faith is – It is a struggle to get comfortable with it, to feel like this feels right. And most of all, it feels authentic to the person that I am. The way that I'm sharing is authentic to who I am. I'm not, you know, I didn't memorize 5 talking points and that's what I'm using now as I have these conversations. So it's not a problem to have talking points, but then you take the talking points and you put them through your own lens.
Right.
So that you can be authentic as you engage people, you know, in these conversations. And they become easier, but it does take that leap of faith.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you are onto something for sure, that at least initially being somewhere where you feel comfortable enough for it to be awkward is a huge advantage in honing and shaping, you know, the authentic faith that you want to present, you know, to others as you're having conversation is having that ability to have that whoops or that, did I really just say that?
Yes.
And then it's just not something that people in everyday life do. You know, you don't say, you know, let's meet up and eat some wings and watch the game. And then tell me about your faith life. We just don't have those conversations with people where it's a natural thing. It's almost like in public when it comes up, it's instantly awkward.
Yeah. And it's like I'm about face and I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you discovered, you know, when you were dealing with your clients and as you dug a little further, that a lot of them were people of faith, and that it opened up doors and avenues, not only interpersonally, but for their business as well, that you can connect with them and the way through which you look at your business or how you run your business or how you interact with those people that you do business with. It does change to have that knowledge that the person that you're coaching has some of the same, you know, values. Mm-hmm. Their lens might be a bit different, but it's this sort of coming from the same place, the same epicenter, which is God. So the last question we have And this is a really great one, I think, in your position and with what you've shared, because I think coming here today and being willing to be interviewed and to do something that, you know, makes you uncomfortable, but you're doing it anyway, I think could help people who are wondering, they're saying, you know, I really want to dig in a little deeper on how I can live my life as a reflection of the faith that I have, but I just really don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start. You know, what would you suggest to them as to how they can get going and get started to make that transition to becoming more comfortable and to taking those leaps of faith, the uncomfortable yeah. moments? What would you suggest to them?
Yeah, there's a couple things, but the first simple one is believe. And while sounds simple, it's not, because what you tell yourself inside, what you mentally tell yourself, can either brighten your day or change your day quite dramatically. And for me, believing didn't come right away. I will say it took time, it took prayer, but there's the belief part. But it's also allowing yourself time. Like, it's not something that's going to, for me, it didn't happen right away. And then being more conscious, I would say, of prayer, of not just asking for God for help, but also listening to what He's provided for you already. And sometimes the listening is not just with your ears, it's, you know, also with your eyes, with your heart, and just taking that moment, that reflective moment to say, wow, I really am surrounded by God and God's love. Mm-hmm. And for me, those four things right there are just the start. And then there's so many more things to get active around.
Yeah, I think you're definitely onto something. It's almost as if develop a mindset where you give yourself permission,
yes,
to sort of struggle through these things or to take your time, you know, in figuring out, you know, the Bible talks about different types of time. There's the chronos, which is like, you know, it's 4:30, yep. And then there's the kairos, which some people interpret as God's time, but it also is interpreted as, you know, the right or opportune time. So, you know, when you give yourself permission to seek out the right and opportune time, to continue to dig and to get deeper in your faith and to ask the questions and to stumble and to give yourself permission that, you know, this is not something that anyone hones into perfection.
Right.
This is something that's ever evolving.
Yeah. Growth actually hurts. Growth hurts. It's, you know, and you don't realize how much you've grown until you actually look back and go, wow, a year ago, I wasn't talking like this. 2 years ago, I was, you know, doing some things, but not really. I was kind of going through the motions. 5 years ago, this wasn't even a thought. Mm-hmm. So when you have that ability and time to reflect, you're like, things really have changed. Mm-hmm. Whether or not, you know, they're unfortunately, nothing's ever immediate, and that immediate gratification just doesn't come.
Mm-mm. No. Well, we certainly, you know, appreciate you going through the gauntlet of five questions today.
Well, thank you.
You know, I'm really curious, though, if you could, you know, share with the people here. You know, I know you have a podcast that I've listened to, and I think it has there's a lot of parallels to the things that you talk about and things that the church engages in.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, the business coaching and how people can connect with you if they want to find out more information. And then how can they connect and listen to it's the Blue Collar Podcast, right?
Yeah, Blue Collar BS Podcast.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, we do cater to the blue collar audience in that podcast. But the whole podcast is really about the different generations and people and how we communicate with each other. How do we engage on a level where there's respect? But it's also around the notion of really there's great people out there to hire. And we have to look at things through a different lens. And sometimes we have to look at it through the lens of others. And just like faith, we're looking at it We all have our preconceived notions of what we believe quote unquote faith is. But when we look at it through the lens of others, you start to see that really there's so many different opinions and so many different views, and our view can change. And so that's, you know, that's the whole premise with that podcast. So, but yeah, if you would like to ever get a hold of me for many different reasons, I'm on LinkedIn, which is just my name. It's Stephen Doyle Jr. If you type that in, you'll find me on LinkedIn. Facebook, I'm very rarely on Facebook, only just to post certain things. But it's really, I do have a website. It's very simple. It's SD. It's StephenDoyleJr.com. It's fairly simple, and cell phone's on there. Quick access. And my email is just the letter S, the letter D, at StephenDoyleJr.com. We keep it simple.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, really appreciate your willingness to come here and share. And I really believe that people will get a lot of out of your story and some of the ways that your lens becomes clearer as you continue to walk a faith. So, Steve, thank you so much for being here. And again, happy birthday.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me. All
right. Well, my friends, that wraps up episode number 11 of the Link Together podcast. And remember, keep making those faith and daily life connections, because you might be the first or only Bible that some people may ever read.